This morning, while I'm giving this little introduction, go ahead and get 1 Thessalonians. We're going to go there first. Spend most of our time right in there. But we want to thank all the visitors that's come after today. A lot of the Hammond Heights Church members are here from Ada. So now you see a place where I'll be going to preach sometimes. And then they get to see you too, okay? And then all the family members is here, and which is good because my lesson is about family. I titled it A Family Tree. And the reason why is because a couple of years ago, I did a real deep genealogy on my family. And I noticed a lot of things that I did not have any idea about. As I researched and found through my mama's side, this woman right here, I realized that she's from Simsport, Louisiana. Now, here's what's strange. I only know her and my grandma. That's it. So on my mom's side, I know 2 people. I ain't never seen, heard of, nothing. I know names. That's about it. I can't research no further. Number one, because my mama ain't called me everybody. Alright? And number two, because my mama has not told me everything. Alright? And then, so I had to stop researching because my mama has not told me the whole thing. Now don't look at me crazy like you telling your kids everything. You're not. You're not your kids sitting there looking like, they ain't told me either. I'm the same way. They ain't said it to me either. And we'll get there in a minute. We'll get on that lesson in a minute. But I realized how much my mama is starting to look like my grandma and act like my grandma. And I dearly love my grandma. And she's reminding me of my grandma. See, me and my mama, we have our issues when we won't have them. But guess what? She know I'm gonna be there to take care of her. Ain't no doubt about it. When the rubber meets the road, I got it. My brothers and sisters, they don't have to worry about trying to struggle to take care of my mama. I got it. God bless me. I'm able, so I do it when I can. I ain't gonna do it till I want to do it. She ain't just gonna pop up and say, I'm ready to just stop doing everything. Now you keep on doing what you're doing. And then I tell you, when I see that you can't function no more, then I grab you. And then I get you. But on my dad's side, I researched a lot. I was able to go so far. I was able to find out that my daddy's daddy, which is George Marshall, is a half breed. He is half black and half Native American. I had no idea. Then I went so far to where my daddy's mom, now listen to her name, Shahada Marshall. Shahada is Cherokee all the way. Anthony Marshall, who my middle name comes from, is my great grandfather. That's my daddy's daddy's daddy. And we all black. My great grandfather met Shahada in 1835, when Shahada sold from the Chapman plantation to the Platt plantation in Columbus, Georgia. See, I found those out. And I realized I had no idea that slaveholders also had Native Americans. But they did. Okay? So then I researched a little more. I said, well, who is Shaykh's mama? Well, I can find Shaykh's mama. Her name is Diary. And through all of that, we got all of this, and then it gets to me, and then my kids. Now, I did all the research so that my kids would know where they come from. Because, see, it's hard to know where you're going when you don't even know where you came from. Understand? But here's where I wanted my kids to realize. I'm not going to have y'all lost not knowing who you are. Okay. And I'm giving you this part of the lesson. You see what I mean? Now, as I did all that research, I start thinking. And I said, Lord, have mercy. That's just like my family tree. We got all these different things going on, different people, different ways of life. Struggle, rich, some poor, some can't see, some can't walk, some can't. We got all these different things, and it's all mixed up in the one family tree. Woo! Now I got this big old family tree. And then my kids look at it and they say, man, Daddy, I didn't know you was part Native American. I didn't need it, son. So then I went to my daddy and I said, Daddy, why didn't you tell me that you was part Native American? This is exactly what my daddy said. My daddy said, I didn't fool around with you, man. That's what my daddy said. Now, that's his grandma. That's his grandma. And he said, I didn't fool around with you. So then I said, okay, now my daddy got a sister named Georgia. And my daddy, I told my daddy, I said, well, Daddy, you should talk me something about it. He said, oh, boy, I don't mess around with you. I said, where do they stay around for me? Because my daddy's daddy died when he was two. So he didn't fool around with his grandma. Because she was in me. A lot of people in the church, we got differences. We move different ways. We talk different ways. We live different ways. And sometimes we might even fight and fuck at each other. But guess what? We still one family. The family tree ain't gonna move just because you don't like somebody. It's still gonna be a part of that tree. The family tree ain't going to stop just because you don't like the person that's sitting next to you. The tree going to keep going. In 1 Thessalonians, beater, 1 Thessalonians, watch this. This book is all about Paul telling the church of the Thessalonians how good they're doing. Paul is telling the church, this is how good y'all doing. And then he's saying to them, keep up the good work. Church, I ain't Paul, but I'm telling you, keep up the good work. Don't let the work stop, because something's going to make you want to stop the work, and you can't. Keep the good work going, because you're doing good. You just got to keep going. You got to keep on going. You got to get encouraged enough to say, you know what, I got it. I'm going to keep going. I ain't going to let nothing stop me. Yeah, I might get hit in the mouth a couple times, but I'll be all right. I ain't going to let nothing stop me. Now watch what he in 1 Thessalonians, we just skim through it real quick. One thing I want you to see is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Watch what he's saying. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye receive the word of God, which he heard of us, he received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. The word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. He said, listen here, my church family, you know the truth. You received the truth. Not because I sent Timothy up there for you, not because I came to you. You received it because you know that that's what God said. That still relates to us today. We know what God said. We know exactly what He wants to do. And then look at this. And then if you go in chapter 3 and verse 5, just look at this for real quick. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the temper have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Sometimes, he's saying, I needed to know if you was okay. I really needed to know you was all right because I know that Satan is working. And I know how hard Satan works because he can grab you when he's trying his best to get you. So don't fall. That's what he's saying. Telling us the same thing today. Now keep reading, watch this in verse 6. But now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings in your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Now, it ain't no, he's saying, Timothy came back and gave me a good report about your church. And I'm happy for you that you're doing so great. Now, if you notice, I asked Hammond Heights to come. I asked him to come. I said, Hammond Heights, will y'all come and worship? This is all of Hammond Heights. They ain't having church service today. I'm here. I'm preaching right now. They're here. Every single one of them is here. I see them all. It ain't one missing. If it is one missing, I'd say it's in there. Yeah, I see one missing. But I see a lot of them here. Now, this is the point. So that they can go back and say, hey, something goes all right. You have to go to the local. You have to go to the little. You have to step out of this congregation, walk to another one, so that people can know we exist. You gotta do that. And once you do that, you'll be so happy with yourself because you're doing so good. You just gotta go out of tent and show it to everybody else. Show it to everybody else. Be happy about your spirit, about how much you love God. Same thing with Hammond Heights. I wanted them to see. It's all right. It's okay. Ain't no problems. Ain't no situations going on. We argue just like everybody else. We love just like everybody else does. So then in the text, well, watch this. We're going to jump down to chapter 4, and I want you to just watch verse 1, because now Paul is getting ready to tell this church, here's some things I want you to see. In verse 1, he says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brother, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God. He said, I'm going to give you something on how you need to walk so that you can please God. And then he goes on into this text. And he said in verse 3 even, he said, for this is the will of God. This is what God wants us to do. In verse 9, he says, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. He said, the brotherly love, I already know y'all know about it. Because you already been taught to love each other. And then the next, in verse 11, watch this. He said, and that ye study to be quiet and to turn your own, to mind your own business and in work with your own hands as we command you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without. And then we get to our text this morning. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. Now remember, Paul has told them how good they're doing, how good he heard about them, well, what they're doing, and all the things that they're doing is great, and to keep up the good work. Now watch what he tells us. And he talking to us, church. He talking to us. We'll see that he's talking to us in a minute. He talked to the First Thessalonian church. The Thessalonian church. He's talking to them. Silvanus and Timothy is with him. Now watch what he said. Verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. He said, I know you got a family full of people that's different. I know you got a family full of people that have done you wrong. I know you got a family full of people that have done you right. I know you got a family full of people with some issues. But guess what? You still need to make sure you comfort one another. Be with each other. I told you, I ain't always got along with this woman. But I'm going to make sure she's all right. We can probably spend about 3 days together. Tops. I'm going to be honest. My daddy too. My daddy's a busy word. I spent 3 days with him. 3 days and I got to go. 3 days I'm through with daddy. Daddy's 3 days top for anybody. He 3 days top for Charles. He sit down and talk to him. He'd be ready for you to get out of his house too. 3 days he give me. And guess what? But I still love him. That's my daddy. That is my, that's me. That is me. And I wouldn't change it for the world. Because I know my family tree got some issues. I seen that. I know that my daddy didn't want to speak to his grandma, and that has hurt me because I didn't get to even know that my grandma, great-grandma. I don't even have a picture of my great-grandma. I know this stuff all because the family tree is sitting there, but everybody started fighting each other, and then all of a sudden, we get to us, and we ain't fighting each other, so we're trying to figure out what our family look like. Same thing going to church. We got a big family tree, church. We got a big old family tree. Big, everybody just mixed all in. And then, well, sometimes you argue, sometimes you don't. You don't have to worry about that because the family tree still ain't going to change. It's still going to be there. You ain't got to worry about being shut out. Ain't nobody going to shut you out. They love you. When the rubber meets the road, your family going to take care of you. I promise you that. When you can't do nothing else, the family is who you can count on. When my brother went to jail, all we told him all the time was, we here for you, but all his friends was out the door. He could only count on his family. And still to this day, I tell him, boy, don't you act like, oh, we wasn't there. You was locked up. We was there. You got me coming out down there, taking off the belt, hands falling down, looking at the, trying to look at the people that I'm scared they're going to take me, put me back there. Boy, and then you got the nerve to say, y'all don't care about me. Man, I hit you in your jaw. You better stop. We love you. I wouldn't have drove all the way down to, from Oklahoma City, what's the prison on Holdenville to come see you if I didn't love you? And then bring my kids? You better shut your mouth. So then I had, but that's what we got. We got a family tree. I ain't talking about just here. I'm talking about our family tree goes worldwide. We got all kind of people. We got Koreans, Japan. We got all kind of people. Now watch this, what does he say in verse 12? And we beseech you, brethren. And he talked to the brother. He's talking to us. He's talking to all of us, okay? So get that in your spirit. You got to know that. He's speaking to the church, all right? He's saying brethren, but he's talking to the church. Now watch this. Watch what he said. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, Lord Jesus. He said, brothers, You need to know who your leaders are. You need to know who they are. If you don't know that she is going to be, you know that I'm just so. If you don't know that is one of the leaders, you know that. If you didn't know it, you know it now. If you didn't know that this wonderful man right here, Mike, is one of the leaders, you know now. If you didn't know that our Pope and Daniel, he ain't here to use the children, he's one of the leaders. That's the one. Now, it looked good at me that you could. I'm all right. Now, listen to me. Then you got other deacons over here that's having the calls to lead. Hey, I can't go over there. I've been in one of our church. Got about 9-11 of them. Deacons just helping, helping. If you don't know them, Paul said, you need to know them. You need to know who the laborers are. You know why? Because when you don't know somebody working real hard for you, you don't appreciate what they do. And you get to complaining about some things that you might not need to because how hard they're working. Now watch what he's saying. Now he's talking to us, church. He's talking to us. I don't want you to think that he's talking to elders right now. He's not. He's talking to members. He's talking to us. Now watch what he's saying. Know them which labor among you and over you in the Lord and admonish you. And esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake. And be at peace among yourself. If the elders told me to stop doing something, I'm going to stop doing it. Rather, I agree or not. Because we put them as overseers and they know something that I don't know. And now I'm blessed for that. They know stuff that we don't know. Everybody's not, you know, everybody talking to me. And I only pointed out three of them. And you got 100 and, that's 160 right now. And you got 150 at least talking to me in concert. You got some saying, I don't like when Eddie preaches. Then you got another one go to him and say, I love when Eddie preaches. And then you got one saying, will you tell our Pope to quit spitting? And then you got another one saying, will you tell our Pope to just spit everywhere? Then you got another one saying, will you tell the brothers over there to quit sitting over there like that? And then another one saying, will you tell the brothers over there to keep on sitting like that? This is what they go through. They hear both sides and then they have to sit there and say, Lord have mercy. I don't really know how they do it. I don't really know. That's a deep thing. That's some work. And at the same time, they had their own family they taking care of. And then they got their grandkids and all this they trying to love and do. And then, but they still handling the church. That's what it's saying. It's telling us, love them for what they're doing. Now watch this. Verse 14. Now he's about to really get into let us know what's happening. Now mind you, he talking to a church that's doing great. He's just giving them a push just to keep on doing great. Now watch what he says. He says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Now understand something. I just told you. He ain't speaking to elders. He's talking to brothers. He's talking to people of the church. He's telling all of us, if you got some people around you that's doing wrong and unruly and bad, give them a warning. Tell them. John ain't got to be no elders to tell somebody. Right, Grace. God, I just say, or I might say, Grace, look at you. today we had trouble sleeping. I gave you 15 minutes clean up. 15 minutes top. That's all we get. And then I told them they were a little slow, but playing around, especially big kids, you know, they ain't listening where they're going. And they just playing around. Then I said this. I said, okay, well, if I'm not getting in my car at 9 o'clock, everybody, all the kids gonna stay long as dad is gone, I'm already gone. But we're gonna stay in this thing of the entire church. Why do you move so fast? And they got them moving. They got them moving because you just tell them. You just got to be straight up with them and just tell them. Now watch this. These are all the family responsibilities that we have. Now we get into the family responsibilities that we have. Because each family got a family responsibility. And each family got family rules. Okay? And then at the end, you'll see one last thing about the family that we do. Now watch this. It say in verse 14. Stay there. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. He's telling us, be good people. Be good people to everybody. Don't badmouth nobody. Don't just keep your. This is the time of the year where you gotta say, today is the 30th, tomorrow the 31st. I can't be taking all my baggage from 2018 and sticking in 2019. I just can't do it. I need to let this baggage go. And sometimes I gotta let some people that's on my family tree go. Sometimes I just gotta let you be. And we'll see why. But sometimes we have to say, I'm not gonna let it happen. And I'm talking about the whole church, the church as a whole, because this is happening everywhere in the world. This is not just your family. This is the church family too. Am I the only person here that got that my family has some issues? Am I the only one? I mean, they can't be. I can't be the only one, can I? I mean, that just ain't possible. I got some family issues. I got some family problems. And the church do too. I got family problems at home and in my family tree, and then I've got family problems in my family Christian tree. You see what I'm saying? And I'm trying to encourage myself, and while I'm encouraging y'all, to keep up the good fight. Keep up the good fight. It's dirt. Now watch this. Family responsibilities. Church. Sometimes we just got to be honest with ourselves and not speak when we want to be negative. Listen to this story about a little boy playing t-ball, okay? Little boy playing t-ball. And he had a coach. And the coach was explaining to him the game. This is during the game. The crowd is rowdy. You got parents and standing going crazy on the umpires, everybody. And the coach looked at the little boy, and the coach said, okay, do you understand that we all in this together? And the little boy said, yeah. And then he said, okay, do you realize that when you hit the ball, whether you make it there or not, it's still okay? And the little boy said, yeah, I understand. He said, do you realize that when one of our teammates do good, we all do good? And the little boy said, yeah. And he said, so do you realize that don't argue with the ref, with the umpire, don't argue and talk about people in the game that's playing in the game? none of that stuff. Do you realize that? And he said, yes, coach. And he said, the coach said, okay, now go explain all that to your parents. See, sometimes you got to be explained to by your kids to let you know you ain't doing what you need to do. People looking at you crazy. You out there cussing out the rail, and then you come up here and you about to say a prayer. Then you go down there and you just beat up the umpire, and then you come up here and work on the table. Come on now. And that's what he said. Family, we all in it together. We one team. One team, one mind, one faith, one baptism, one Lord. That's what we are. Now watch what he said in these family rules. Watch this. Verse 16, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Even when you're fussing with your brother and your sister, give thanks. Even when you didn't like what somebody did to you, give thanks. Where's Sahara at? Sahara is OU, boom, summa, all the way to the core of her heart. And she ain't even past the third grade yet. Now, she tells me, don't you say nothing bad about OU. And I told her, okay. Because I'm going to give thanks even when she loves a school that I can't stand. It's okay, because I love that little girl. And if she went to OU and she graduated, I'm there. Now, I wasn't home. But I'm there. I'm going to be there. You know why? Because she's family. She's family. Ain't nothing like family coming to see you. Ain't nothing like it. Now, watch this. In verse 19, and get this in your spirit. He said, quench not the spirit. Now, I didn't really understand that text right there. I was so lost on that text. I had to do a lot of studying to understand what is he saying. Then I realized, oh, that's what he's saying. He's saying, when there is people at the church that fire up with the spirit about the church, don't you try to put the fire out. Amen. That's what he's saying. Quench not the spirit. Don't throw water on this flaming spirit. When people are gung-ho, boy, that'll run somebody out of church so fast. Well, Brother Marshall, I still don't understand. Okay, let me help you. You can only work on a table if you got a tie, young man. Oh, you just quenched the spirit out. You just threw fire on the spirit. He was gung-ho. Now he say, huh? I don't do it. Somebody come to you and they say, can I pray? And you say, no, you're too good to pray. You just quench the spirit out. You quench it out. They also make a decision. They make a decision. They make a decision. They stand on their decision. They feel good about their decision. Then they tell us the church, and then everybody says, we don't like that. You just quench their spirit out. We don't agree with that. We just quench it. We just start it on. That's what we're doing. And then they're saying, don't quench the spirit out. Keep the spirit going in people. Don't let it go out just because you might not agree. Some things I don't agree with, but I ain't going to quench the spirit out for it. Just shake it off. It'll be okay. And then they say, despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That's what I just said when some people I have to let go is in my own family. Because when I know they're doing evil, I got to leave them be. Because I don't want that evilness to rub off on me. So I just have to leave it be. Sometimes, now, I'm going to make up with them. We're going to get it right. We'll get it together. But I need to let that person rest for a minute. Other than that, we just are. And then I'll come back, and then I'll try again. And then we'll, you know, it'll work out. It always works out. People, I tell them, me and my mama, just that's it. Y'all don't know the stories. You ain't got a clue. I ain't going to tell you. Verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctified you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved for blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Now watch what Paul tells this church, because he's going to tell them to do something. He said, brethren, pray for us. And then he did this. Watch this. He said, greet all brothers with a holy kiss. He said, see, brotherly love is important. And we must treat all brothers with a love and a kiss. Even if I don't agree with something Jerry did, that's my brother. Okay? And then nothing going to stop me from loving my brother. Not a thing. You understand what I'm saying? Nothing going to stop me. And we got to teach that, because he got two little ones, I got three little ones, and they need to know the same thing. And then we come over here, and it's with all this family, nothing can stop us as a family. We all together. And we will all remain together. All the issues, the problems, we get over it. Don't worry about it. It'll come about. It'll be okay. And then he tells him something. Watch what he tells him. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brothers. He said, don't just keep it to yourself. You tell everybody. You tell Seminole, the Church of Christ in Seminole. You tell the Church of Christ in Walker. You tell the Church of Christ in Little. You go tell everybody that this is what I'm saying, because ain't nothing better than brotherly love. Now, brotherly love is so important. Now, the kids and some of the counselors already heard this before, but now I want you to go to Psalms 133. I want you to see this. Because sometimes a picture makes it look so good, don't it, my kids over there? The picture of it makes it look good. Now, I ain't going to have a pour of oil on me this time. But I want to explain this. Psalms 133, it says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. I don't even want to go no further. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. See, one thing I have missed a lot of my life that I wish I had, and maybe a lot of y'all have, is family reunions. Okay, my family don't have it. Why? I don't know. My mom said, well, they already don't need son. Maybe they are. I don't know. But we don't have family reunions. So I don't get to see people. I don't know. I had one on mama's side of the family, but that was a step side. So it wasn't my real dad, it was a step dad. Okay? But here's the deal. When a family reunion, you know, you come back together, you come all together, and you all come together, you get the same type of shirts and all that, and you look good, and you speak to the others, and you have some arguing at family reunions, but at the end of the day, everything is fine. That's what we are. We have a family reunion every Sunday. You realize that? Our family comes together every Sunday, and we do it on Wednesdays too. And we come together, and we come as a family, and we be together, and we do things together, and it's a big family. That's what it is. And yeah, we might have a few disagreements, but it's okay. Because we are family. Now, here's what you can't get the full effect of the family reunion if you don't show up. You got to show up to a family reunion. You can't be mad and say, well, I ain't just on that thing. Why they got it like that? Oh, man. Oh, man. Church is family reunion time. Sunday is family reunion. Wednesday we got a family reunion because everybody that don't agree still come and start agreeing. I love the family reunion. And then watch this. It in verse Psalms 133, verse 2. Watch this. It is like the precious oil. Now he's talking about being together in unity. He said, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He's talking about, now I'm going to show you how it's like to dwell together in unity. He said, it's like the precious ointment, that oil upon the head, upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. I'm going to just stop right there. What in the world is this oil? That's the key. What is that oil that he's talking about? I want to know that oil. Because you're telling me that when we're together, it's just like that oil. That's what you're saying. The psalmist saying, that oil is exactly like you being together. So what is oil? So we have to find out what the oil is real quick. Exodus chapter 30. And then we're going to close. Exodus chapter 30. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to just give you a little snippet of it and then get on out of here. Exodus chapter 30, and I'm going to be in verse 22. And I'm going to just read it real quick. Watch this. I'm going to find out what this oil is. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon half, so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, a hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil. So it ain't just Crisco that you fry chicken in. It ain't that kind of oil. This is a holy anointing oil. But the key is, how did they make it? They made this holy anointing oil by blending all these different spices together. What they did, this is what they did. They said, okay, well, I'm going to throw a few Native Americans over here, and then I'm going to put a few white people right here, and then I'm going to throw some old folk in the back, and then I'm going to put some young folk in the front, and then I'm going to put some black people right in there, and I'm going to throw a few black people over here, I'm going to put a black person right here, I'm going to put some black people in a bunch of places, I'm going to put some Greek in some places, I'm going to put some Koreans everywhere, I'm going to throw a few Japanese people everywhere, I'm going to throw some people that have autism in there, I'm going to throw some people with Down syndrome in there, and then I'm going to mix that all up, and then that's going to make holy anointing oil. And that holy anointed oil is going to be the same oil that go down Aaron's head, who was the priest. And then all the way down to his beard, all the way to the skirts of his garment. What they're saying is that mixture of oil is going to cover everything. So when you want people to come to the church, they need to know that they can get some of that oil. They need that oil that's going to cover everything. They need that same oil that's going to just drop all the way down. Because when they come, they're looking for something. They're looking for something. You don't really know what they're looking for. Sometimes they don't know what they're looking for, but they're looking for something. But I guarantee you, if you got that oil, you can make it. At the end of the day, it's all about being in the family tree, being together. One mind, one soul, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. All together as one. Paul told that church, you're doing good. Keep it up. Don't let nothing stop you. And then he said, now go tell the other churches to do the same thing. That's what we need to know. How to keep it going. Don't let nothing stop you. When you leave out this 2018 year, focus on trying to make sure that you leave it there in 2018. All that stuff that is just right behind you in 2018. And then 2019, just start something fresh. Feel good about it. And if it don't work out, it'll be okay. Don't get caught up into thinking that your life is over, because it's not. And remember, you got all these brothers and sisters in here that love you and they care for you. And we got leaders that love us and care for us. And they won't do no harm to us. If you're not in the church, this is how you do it. If you want this same kind of oil coming down, this is what's got to happen. You got to hear that word. We teach it all the time. That the key is, you can hear it all day long, but now the key is you believe the word. If you believe it, then let's do something about it. Let's repent. Let's repent. Let's tell God, you know what? God, I'm sorry. I'm going to start this off right. I'm going to do something different. And then you can even say a sweet confession. Lord, I do believe that you're the Son of God. I do. I believe that with all my heart. And then one of us leaders will take you back there and baptize in that water right there. And we ain't doing nothing because we flaw. The baptism is all Jesus Christ, because he said you got to do that for the remission of sins. And so you can get the gift of the Holy Spirit. Say that you're in church, but again, you had some of this stuff kind of locked you down. Your 2018 was kind of locked down, kind of hurt. It didn't feel so good. And you're going to start it over. You're going to do it over. But you don't know how. This is how you do it. You just say, Lord, forgive me. I ain't worried about nobody else. Lord, forgive me. Help me. We can't be called upon everybody else for a help them do right now. And when people say, I'm going to pray for you, I hope to pray for you too. Please do. Pray for me and you. Because at the end of the day, we all need it. And then you come and you say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry. You already baptized. You know what the truth is. I'm sorry. And then he forgives you. If you are subject to that call, won't you come as we stand and sing the invitation of the song?